اللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم کما ارسلنا فیکم رسولا منکم the way we sent to you the messenger from among you یتلو علیکم آیاتنا who's going to recite to you our ayahs, our signs ویزکیکم and who's going to purify you ویعلمکم الکتاب who's going to teach you the book والحکمہ and who's going to teach you the wisdom. So now this ayah obviously is telling us that Allah Ta'ala has sent the messenger and the messenger has four responsibilities. One is yatlu alaykum ayatina, that he is going to recite to you the ayahs of the Quran. The second thing is وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ, he is going to purify you. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابِ, that's the third thing, he is going to teach you the book. Which book is he going to teach you? The Quran, obviously. And the fourth is وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and he is going to teach you the wisdom. Now, this is all good, but the commentators of the Quran have said that why did Allah Ta'ala mentions the way we have sent to you the messenger? So when Allah Ta'ala is saying the way we have sent to you, it means this ayah of the Quran is somehow related to the previous ayah of the Quran. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala did not need to say the way we have sent to you the messenger. Allah Ta'ala could have just said, we have sent to you the messenger who will teach you the book. Instead, Allah Ta'ala is saying the way we have taught, the way we have sent you the messenger. So that means this ayah has a link with the old ayah, the previous ayah. And the previous ayah is that Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah Ta'ala made Baytullah the Qibla for all Muslims. This was the last ayah, right? Allah Ta'ala says, فَوَلِّ خَرَجْتَ, and wherever you turn, you should face towards the Baytullah for your Qibla, right? What was the last ayah of the Quran? وَمِنْ حَيْسُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ, wherever you go out, you should turn towards Baytullah. So Allah Ta'ala says the way we accept, this was the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made many duas, but two of those duas was, one was that Allah Ta'ala should make Baytullah the Qibla, and the other one was that Allah Ta'ala should send a messenger who's going to teach the book and who's going to purify. So Allah Ta'ala says that the way we accepted the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that we made Baytullah the Qibla, in the same way we sent you the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is going to do these four things. Yatlu alaykum ayatina, that he is going to teach you the, who is going to recite the ayahs of the Quran. وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ, is going to purify you. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, is going to teach you the book and the wisdom. So now everybody is clear why Allah Ta'ala is saying the way we sent you the messenger, instead of just saying we sent you the messenger. These are the four responsibilities of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what are these four responsibilities? Rahid, recite the ayahs, purify us, to teach us the book, to teach us the book. Very good, mashallah. So, four things, right? Recite the ayah means to recite what was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became the Prophet during the time of the Sahaba, the book was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ in 23 years, and it was the job of the Prophet ﷺ, it was his responsibility that he would convey what was revealed to the Messenger ﷺ. So this was his first job. And the second job was that he should purify the Sahaba or the Muslims. Now there's a question here, and the question is, if there is Quran present, if there is the book of Allah, why do you need somebody to purify you? The book, if you read the book, it is going to purify you as it is, right? So why do you need somebody else to purify you? So the answer is that a human being, we as humans, we cannot only be purified by books. We need some good company. That good company is going to purify us more than the book itself. That is why all the books that Allah has sent, right? Allah has sent the Bible, Allah has sent the Torah, Allah has sent the books of Dawud alayhi salam, the Sahifas, right? All these books, and there were some Sahifas which were revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah has sent many, many books. And the beautiful thing is, with each and every book, Allah has sent a messenger. So, and sometimes it has happened that Allah has sent a messenger, but He has not sent a book. So there are many, many more messengers and there are fewer books. It means to purify humans, you need messenger more than you need the book. Did you understand the point? So to purify humans, you need messenger more than the books. Because people take more influence from other people than only words. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'u 'ala deeni khalili." That a man is on the deen of his friend. That he is more influenced by his friends than anything else. So whatever deen the friend will be on, he is going to be, and that's in that same deen. So that is why it is more important that some human, some messenger purifies other human than the book itself. That is why Allah Ta'ala says that one of your job is to purify. So in another ayah of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladzina amanu taqullah. That, O you who believe, you should fear Allah. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. And you should keep the company of the truthful ones, of the pious ones. So that means when you keep the company of the pious ones, it has an effect on your own heart. That is why it is important to keep the company of the pious people more than anything else. That is why there are three main benefits of keeping the company of the pious people. And the first benefit is that when you keep the company of pious people, then it helps you to stay away from sins. Or in other words, if you are involved in committing sins, this company actually helps you to come out of that sin. No other thing can help you more in coming out of sins than the company of the pious people. So there are two types of sins. One is sin that you do once in a while. And you do that sin, and sometimes you can also leave that sin, because you're not doing that sin. It has not become your habit to commit that sin. So one sin is that type that you don't commit all the time. So it is easy to leave the sin, you don't need help. But there is some types of sins which have become your habit. Those sins that become your habit, becomes very difficult to leave those sins. And how do you end up leaving those sins? The easiest way is to keep the company of the pious people. This company actually helps you leave the sins. So the first and the most important benefit of keeping pious company is that it helps you leave sins. That is why I say that we all come together here, and one of the purposes is to read the Quran and to learn the knowledge of the Quran. But another purpose is to keep the company of the people who are reading the Quran. Because these are pious people who are reading the Quran, who are contemplating on the Quran. So one of the purpose is to understand and have the knowledge of the Quran. The other company is to have the company of, the other reason of coming here is to have the company of pious people among us. So this is one of the reasons why we all come here. So there are three benefits of keeping the company of the pious. And the first one is that it helps you leave the sins. And if there is a very pious man, then his company is very effective in leaving sins. His words have more effect in it. And that is why those words help you leave the sins. So there was a very pious man. He was a sheikh of his time. And this sheikh actually was sitting at the airport in Tokyo. And this one man was coming in front of him, and he had a bottle of liquor, alcohol in his hand. And he was walking as if he was all drunk. And he came in front of the sheikh, and he said to the sheikh that, "I want to be like you." And the sheikh thought that he's making fun of him, right? Because he was drunk, and on the airport there was nobody else in this attire, right? Wearing these clothes and having this turban. So the sheikh said that maybe he's just having fun with me. So the sheikh asked him, "Do you like my turban?" And he said, "No, I see a light on your face." So now the sheikh thought that maybe he's not making fun of me. This might actually be his time to change. So the sheikh said, "Oh, so what do you want?" He said, "I want to be like you." So the sheikh said, "You can be even better than me." So when he heard this, that you can be even better than me, he took this bottle of alcohol that he had in his hand and he threw it in the trash can. And he came and he sat down. And he said, "Sheikh, let me introduce myself to you." And the sheikh said, "Yes." He said, "You know what? I am a person who lives here in Tokyo, and I work in a very big firm, and I am a manager, and I earn a lot of money, and I am a very rich man. But let me tell you, all those sins that you know, that you could ever think of, I commit all of those sins. Now tell me, can I be like you?" And the sheikh, and Allah has given these mashayikh a lot of wisdom. So the sheikh said, "No, you can become like me. You can become even better than me." He said, "Even now I can become even better than you." He said, "Yes." He said, "What do I have to do?" "So you should do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So now the sheikh actually brought him into such a situation where he was ready to listen. And these mashayikh, their words have wisdom and their words have weight. So this man listened to the advice of the sheikh for about 20 minutes, let's say. So one drunk man was in the company of a pious man for 20 minutes. And after 20 minutes, he listened to the words of the sheikh. And he said, "Okay, fine, I'm going to do tawbah. And I'm going to refrain from sins and all that." And then the sheikh had his flight, and this man also had to leave. So now, this man was in the company of a pious man for 20 minutes. But it had an effect on him. So after 1 month, 2 months, the sheikh said, "I forgot all about him." Because obviously, you remember these things, but after some time you forget. He says, after 3-4 months, I received a letter, a mail from him. And in that mail he has written that, "Sheikh, I want to tell you two things. That since the day I have met you, I have been praying 5 times a day. And sometimes I even get the opportunity to pray tahajjud namaz." SubhanAllah. So see, the company of the pious changes. But the second thing is the most important thing. And the second thing is that he says that since the day I have met you, I have not committed any sins. SubhanAllah. So the person who was saying that all the sins that you can ever think of, I commit all of them. And after meeting with the sheikh, after being in the company of the pious for a little bit of time, he's saying that now, from that day I haven't committed any sins. So keeping the company of the pious has 3 benefits. And the first benefit, the most important one, is that it helps you leave the sins. This is the most important. And leaving the sin is the message of Quran. Is a central message of the Quran. Second important thing is that you get a status in the eyes of Allah by being in the company of the pious. How how can just being in the company of the pious you can get a status in the eyes of Allah? All the scholars of Islam are agreed on one point. All the scholars. And what is that one point? All of them say that after the prophets, the highest in status in the eyes of Allah are all the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ. Anyone who has seen the Prophet ﷺ in a state of Iman for even 1 minute, he is higher than all the saints, all the pious people of the world. All the scholars are agreed on this. Why has Allah given the Sahaba this status? Because they had the company of a very, very, very pious man. And that is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that means that if you are in the company of the pious man, because of that company Allah ta'ala gives you a high status. That is why somebody asked Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah a question, a very important question. What was that question? The question was that, Shaykh, tell us, who is higher in rank in the eyes of Allah? Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu or Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah? Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu was a companion of the Prophet. Umar bin Abdul Aziz came after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Muawiyah was also a king of his time. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah was also a king of his time. In Muawiyah's time there were many, many wars. There was a lack of peace. People were not as happy. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, on the other hand, was not the Sahabi of the Prophet. He was not among the Sahaba. But in his time, the Muslim empire flourished. And there was a lot of wealth for the Muslims. The Muslims were happy. The Muslims were pious. The Muslims were successful. So the one who asked the question was saying that Umar bin Abdul Aziz is higher in status, or Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is higher in status. And Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah answered that that dust which went into the nose of the horse of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, when he used to go out in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that dust is even better than Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. Why? Because Muawiyah radiallahu anhu had the company of the Messenger. So the second benefit of keeping good company is that because of this company, because of this pious company, you get status in the eyes of Allah. And the third benefit is that because of this pious company, Allah Ta'ala, even if you don't do many good deeds, Allah Ta'ala gives you a place where this pious man will go in the Akhirah. Again, it is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba." One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Prophet of Allah, in Jannah you will have a very high status, and we will have a very low status. So we will not be able to see you in Jannah. So for us, this world is much better, that every day we can have a look on your blessed face. We can come and be in your company." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al mar'u ma'a man ahabba," that a person will be in Jannah with the one who he loves in this world. So to have the company of the pious, to show love towards those pious people, even if you don't have as many good deeds, you will be in Jannah with that pious man. So the third benefit is that having the company of the pious people is going to take us where these pious people will be in Jannah. So this is a very beautiful benefit. So that is why Allah Ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has four responsibilities. Yatlu alaykum ayatuna, that he teaches you the ayahs of the Quran. Wa yuzakkikum, and he purifies you. Wa yuallimukum alkitab, and he teaches you the book. Wal hikmah, and he teaches you the wisdom. Now A lot of commentators have said that this wisdom is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So he teaches you the Quran and he teaches you the sunnah. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُ تَعْلَمُونَ. And he teaches you that which you do not know. So this is the job of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, because the Prophet ﷺ has come with these four things that he's going to tell us, so this is a big name, a big favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. So now you should remember me and I will remember you. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. You remember me and I will remember you. What does it mean that you remember me and I'll remember you? So we will say Allah, Allah, Allah. And Allah ta'ala is going to say Raheed, 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 right? Is that what it means? Faskuruni, Askurukum. You remember me and I'll remember you. What does it mean that you remember me and I'll remember you? It means that you will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will pray and you will do tasbih, you will do istighfar and you will remember Allah ta'ala inside of you. And Allah ta'ala says that I will remember you by helping you in your affairs. So there is a hadith of the Prophet. The Prophet said, it's a hadith al-Qudsi. Hadith al-Qudsi are the words of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says that when you remember me in a group of people, I remember you in the group of angels. And when you remember me inside of yourself, I remember you inside of myself. So Allah Ta'ala remembers you when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why when people go to the mashayikh, the first thing normally the mashayikh tell them is that you should take out some time for the remembrance of Allah. Because when somebody remembers Allah, Allah Ta'ala has special mercy descends. And remembrance, although it is a nafal ibadah, it has an effect on the faraiz. When somebody remembers Allah, his heart is soft and he starts getting this love of Allah inside of his heart, and then it becomes easy for him to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It becomes easy for him to do the faraiz, right? So somebody who's remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be easy for him to wake up for fajr prayer. It will be easy for him to stay away from the sins. It will be easy for him to fulfill the rights of other people. So that is why remembrance of Allah is a very, very big opportunity that Allah Ta'ala gives a man. Allah Ta'ala says, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سِقَالَةٌ وَسِقَالَةُ الْقُلُوبِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. That for everything there is a polish, and the polish of the heart is the remembrance of Allah. So this remembrance of Allah, it polishes the heart. It makes a man close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. That successful is the one who purifies himself. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And who is the one who is going to purify himself? The one who remembers Allah and the one who prays, the one who does his salah. So that means the one who does salah and remembers Allah, Allah Ta'ala has promised him that he is going to be successful. So that is why one should do a lot of remembrance. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. You remember me and I will remember you. One more hadith, and Allah Ta'ala says that my servant, through his nafal ibadah, through his remembrance, through his zikr, he comes so close to me that I become the eyes with which he sees, and I become the ears with which he hears, and I become the hands with which he holds, and I become the legs with which he walks. Sometimes people remember Allah Ta'ala in such a way, and they remember Allah Ta'ala so much that Allah Ta'ala says that I become the eyes with which he sees. That is why some of the mashayikh, they were so elevated in the eyes of Allah that they could see that humans could not even see. Why? Because of their ibadah. So among those mashayikh, there was a shaykh whose name was Shaykh Abdul Malik Siddiqui Rahimahullah. And this shaykh was very, very pious. Spent all his life in the remembrance. Would spend hours and hours in the remembrance of Allah. Allah Ta'ala had given him such an eye that by looking at the food, he could actually feel, he could see whether this food is halal or haram. So this thing became very popular, that this chef actually could look at the food that you eat and he will be able to tell you whether this food is halal or haram. So some people actually said, okay fine, let's just test the chef. So they wanted to test the chef. So what they did was, they invited him to their house. The chef came to her house for a meal. So the chef went to their house. Now what they did was, they made many, many different items. They cooked many different food, types of food, and they placed him in front of the chef. But all those food was cooked with the money, was bought from the money which was haram. So all the food was actually not halal, right? And only one item which was kept at the end, on the other side, it was halal. All other things were haram. And the sheikh was invited and was told, okay, sit down and please start eating. Now the sheikh looked around, and after looking in each and every bowl, he asked for that one bowl which was halal. He said, please bring that, I am going to eat from that bowl. So everyone was surprised that subhanallah, this man is looking with the eyes with which Allah Ta'ala has given him. That Allah Ta'ala says, I become the eyes with which he sees. So sometimes people go so forward in this remembrance, in this zikr of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala becomes the eyes with which he sees. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ, you remember me and I will remember you, Allah Ta'ala says. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَشْكُرُولِي, you should thank me, وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ, and you should not be unthankful. تَكْفُرُونَ actually means that you should not become an unbeliever. But one meaning is, because this takfurun comes from kufr, and kufr means disbelief, that you should thank me and you should not disbelieve. But the other meaning is that you should thank me and you should not be unthankful. So kufr has two meanings. One is disbelief, the other one is being not grateful or unthankful. So I will stop here inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta. We'll do the translation one more time. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Kama arsalna feekum rasulan, the way we sent to you the messenger, minkum, from among you, yatlu alaykum ayatina, who recites to you our ayahs, wa yuzakkikum, and who purifies you, wa yuallimukumul kitaba, who teaches you the book, wal hikmah, and teaches you the wisdom, wa yuallimukum ma lam takunu ta'lamun, and who teaches you that which you did not know. Fazkuruni azkurukum, remember me and I will remember you. Washkuruli wala takfurun, and you should thank me and should not become unthankful. Sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin. Jazakallah.